This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey,
so, howdy,
T-Bone, Scabs,
hey,
how are you hanging today?
Hey, everybody, hey. Celtics fans, how you doing today? How you feeling?
I don't even know if you got a nice little team there.
No, they're not very good. You know, we sort of went over this last week when we talked about the Celtics.
Did we?
Are they? Why don't you start the
yeah. No, we did. We
no, no,
did.
No, have at
See,
it.
No, the problem
I gotta,
is.
I got to get set up. You're already set up.
No,
go
this
ahead.
Is good. This is great. This is great because, and I've been on these teams where, okay, maybe you're teetering and maybe it's a little stretch here or there, or this guy's out, that's guy, this guy's out, that guy's out. Right now, it's too big of a sampling of the same problematic things over and over, and you don't correct them, and you let people drive the lane, or you don't hit the offensive boards, or you're 29th at defense, or whatever the hell it is, you know, or you give up a 25-point lead. I got pissed off from the beginning. Pre-game going out, and all the little look-away, head-slap things, little handshakes they do. There's Tice trying to get into it. Just get out there and play. You're not that good right now. And I know that's our little thing, and they do it. This team is not good. They are really not good. This isn't a stretch. This is a real thing. And that's why I said, did we talk about this last week? Because here we go again. It's the same damn problems.
Yeah.
Same damn problems.
I look at it, and I look at the way that game went last night, and I think the exact same thing. You're just not that good. And it's not that you're lacking talented players, because you got a couple of those. It's not that you're lacking a bad coach. Just that when it comes time to play together, and when it comes time to hold a 24-point lead midway through the third quarter, a good team can do that. That they're not a very good team.
Was that a good NBA game to watch? Seriously, for basketball fans, was that a good NBA watch to sit there on a Sunday afternoon and go through that?
No. Oh, my God, no. No.
You got the Boston Celtics. You got Zion, who's a major draw for a young kid.
I think if you're not a fan of either team, it was great.
Pardon me?
I think if you're not a fan of either of these teams, it's pretty good, or you're a Pelicans fan.
I disagree with the reviews at the end of that game, and the reviews in overtime. It's a crap product.
From a flow standpoint, I thought you were talking simply about the outcome, a 24-point comeback.
Oh, no, that's insane.
Yeah, looking at the box score today.
Yeah, turn on the last 4 minutes.
Well, they scored like 50 points in like 18 minutes or something. It was crazy.
Watching that game, watching the last half, and it was like a slow burn. It was like, it's just teams falling apart. And also, we're going to stop for just endless moments while they determine who touched the ball last, which, by the way, dumbest review ever. When you've got two or three hands on the ball and it goes out of bounds, I don't care whose team it benefits. If there's a guy trying to come down the rebound and another guy is batting the ball away, then the ball goes to the team who was trying to get the rebound, because chances are he wasn't just trying to bat it away.
I disagree. I'd give it to the team that's trying to bat it away, because if the guy's got his hand on it and you bat that hand, that guy's hand is the last one to touch it.
No, it doesn't. No. You're missing my point. Okay. You can't tell who touched it last in either one of those last replays last night. So who is responsible for the ball going out of bounds? Which team? The team trying to rebound the ball, or the team trying to swat the ball out of that guy's hands? Who's responsible for the ball going out of bounds?
The team trying to swat it.
Yes.
Responsible.
Right. Knock the ball out of bounds. So what are we doing?
All right. So
in addition to all that, it's just, yeah.
That's not the biggest problem. A good team
does not blow a 24-point lead in the middle of the third quarter. I mean, you wouldn't see that from one of the quote-unquote good teams in the NBA.
No, they're not a good team, and they're not going to be a good team. And if you're still holding out hope that they're going to change their course, they're not. And I know what the common and most heard thing will be today: fire the coach. And you know why that is? You know why you're going to hear that more than anything else over the coming days, to fire the coach? Because if you say anything else, you're admitting that you were completely wrong about this team and how good they were to begin with. And you were wrong about some of the players on this team. And you have to come to the realization that the guys are not as good, or they're not as mature as necessary to be a good team, because they lack something.
They're not going to get anything in return. Like, their entire bench stinks.
I get it when you say the coach did not do a good job last night. He didn't. Brad Stevens had one of his worst games. And here we are again talking about a fourth quarter collapse with the Celtics with Brad Stevens as head coach. I get it. The coach is not blameless in this.
Yeah, Daniel say it's the players.
Okay, the rotation needed to be better. Robert Williams needs to play more. And for the love of God, can you figure out a way to get points when Jason Tatum gets trapped? There has to be coaching there that wasn't there. He got out-coached in the second half. The Pelicans made adjustments. They made Zion a better player through coaching in that second half of that game last night. The Celtics didn't change. They didn't do anything. But even if they did, I'm not sure they've got the balls to actually win the game. I'm not sure they've got it. Because
this is the flat part with them that I have talked about with them, other than Jaylen Brown. I think Jaylen Brown's team. Got set on him.
They're a dead team. Here it is. Here is Jaylen Brown for the second time in about 10 days being asked a question about what is happening on the floor and playing together as a team, which the Celtics look incapable of doing. Jaylen Brown.
Seeing a trend, especially in the fourth quarter, where a play, you'll get to the first action, the defense stops it, and then there's kind of a bit of a panic on like what to do from there. Do you feel like everyone's kind of on the same page of how to continue to proceed when a play isn't hitting right away?
No comment.
Oh, seriously? For the second time in a couple of weeks,
do you know how entitled he and Tatum sound at times? Like, they have not won a thing. And they think they're like LeBron James and Steph Curry. What if they won? Are you going to sit there and go, no comment? Twice. And I like the player. Ike plays hard. That, to me, sounds like they didn't make a play for me or Jason to get the ball. When you talk about ball movement and spacing, and he goes, no comment twice on that. And like the way the play was drawn up.
Jaylen Brown is a smart guy. He's a really smart guy. And he dropped a no comment a couple of weeks ago. And when you say no comment, you know how that is perceived. You know how people interpret a no comment. And if he didn't know, he got a full run of that 2 weeks ago. He knows how people take a no comment. No comment means I'd like to talk crap about my teammates or my coach, but that would be too honest, and that would piss people off. So I'm going to go the no comment route. He knows how that's interpreted. He knows how the people who hear that understand that comment. So when you say no comment, you are very much making a comment, Jaylen Brown. He knows that. He did it a couple of weeks ago. He heard the reaction. He saw the reaction to that. And now he does it again, which tells you he doesn't care, which tells you he doesn't care that you think that he believes his roster's not good enough, that he doesn't have good players around him, that the coaching's not good enough, that he's taking a shot at everybody else in the room, maybe other than Jason Tatum. He knows how this is going to be perceived today, and it didn't stop him from doing it a second time over a couple of weeks' time.
He's better off answering the question, because when you go no comment, that lets everybody else to assume what's being said here. And the way I take it is, you don't want to hear what I got to say. So I'm just going to go no comment. So right. I automatically think the worst.
So are the Celtics, are the players ready to make the best of a situation that may not be ideal with their roster? Clearly not. Because Jaylen Brown, the last thing he's going to do with this team is buy in. How do I know? Because he told us last night, no comment. That's where the Celtics are at.
No comment.
You sound like a bunch of losers when you do that. No comment. I'm here for me. My teammates aren't good enough. I show up. Not my job. I collect my paycheck. I go home.
I mean, have they played a stretch of world beaters here?
No, they're playing the dregs of the NBA.
If they get in a series, they may get smoked 4-0. If they find a way to get into the playoffs when you actually play a good team.
No comment is what Jaylen Brown has to say after the Celtics maybe hit rock bottom. I don't know how it could get worse from here.
Oh, I thought it was 3 games ago when
it wasn't.
Randy said it's the worst loss of the Brad Stevens.
It wasn't.
Well, I this want Grandy end of the game. Give me Grandy. Do we have Grandy end of the game?
Was definitively.
No comment.
No comment. This was definitively the worst loss of the NBA. And if you were looking for any sort of leadership, a lot of people like to think that Jaylen Brown could be the true emotional leader of the Celtics. You can throw that thought right in the trash can, because that tells you all you need to know about this team right now. They're not buying in. The players are a problem. Even the best ones, even Brown, is a problem. Ooh. Attitude problem on this team. One of the two best players on the roster, he's got an issue. He's unhappy. The coach, not blameless. He didn't have a good night. Nobody had a good night. Tell me how you fix a bad roster and a bad attitude all at the same time.
You get rid of those players.
Bad roster, bad attitude, mediocre coaching, and a point guard on a max deal that has a bad knee and can't play back-to-backs.
But you can't.
He was mic'd up yesterday.
Tell me how to fix that. So. I don't know how to fix that. I don't have an answer for this team.
I don't know either, but you say like there's going to be calls to fire the coach, because right now there's a lot of players that you would identify as having either a problem with their talent or their attitude, yeah. And you can't get rid of all the players.
That would be number 7 on my list, Hardy, like today.
But that's, how many times do we see that, or have you heard that? It's like, why'd the coach get fired? Because you can't fire the whole team. You gotta fire somebody. So that's, people are going to demand some kind of a major change right here,
yeah.
And you can't facilitate that change by trading away Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. You're not going to be able to trade Kemba Walker, even if you wanted to. So what else could you do? That's why people are going to be saying fire Brad Stevens.
Right,
today.
Because that's the only thing you can do.
Right.
It's the only move you can actually make. That's it. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts and reaction to definitively the worst game of the Brad Stevens era. It was not a few games ago. It was last night. That was awful. That was an awful, awful collapse by the Celtics, and it feels like this has happened far too often with this team. We'll get to your calls coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
I'm just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Redeal.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum will walk the dog. He will not shoot it. The clock will hit triple zeros, and another difficult pill for Celtics Nation to swallow. A 24-point lead in the second half evaporates, and the Celtics are beaten in overtime. The final score, New Orleans 120, Boston 115.
You know, last year at this time, we were in really good shape in those moments. This year, we're not. Has not been good. And, you know, this was a lot like the game I watched them play the other night, you know, when they had a big lead, but there's a lot of game left. And you got to do tough things on the defensive end. You got to do tough things and make tough shots on the offensive end. And they just made a few more than us.
I thought his press conference last night sucked. I don't know how you guys felt about it.
Got to make more shots.
Oh, they just made more shots than us. I think it was a bit more than that. I do. I don't think that fully describes the situation. Yeah, they just got more shots to fall. Actually, no, you had a 24-point lead and you fully collapsed in the second half.
You play no defense.
The hell happened out there? Really. It goes beyond just them hitting a couple of shots and your guys not hitting the shots. Although your guys not hitting the shots is part of it.
I brought it up to you about a week or two ago. I said, watch Tatum when everybody else shoots. Just stands out there in a three-point line. That doesn't bug anybody.
I don't think that's a product of him choosing that on his own, though.
Okay.
I think they want him out there.
Well, then that's a coaching problem.
Is it?
And maybe it is a coach. Somebody tells him to stay out there. Is he Kobe Bryant or is he Carmelo Anthony? Who do you want to be? I joked last week, would you trade Zion heads up for that guy? I would say yes today.
Don't even suggest that to the Celtics fans because...
Oh, my God. That kid competes.
Oh, my God.
He may have gotten handed to him a little bit yesterday.
The reaction on Twitter to that over the last week
has
been
comical. Give me that guy with the stare with the eyes that looks like he wants to be there and play.
Comical. Here's what we do know about Zion. He may not have the ceiling or...
He's a kid.
Sorry, let me rephrase that. He may not have the long career that Jason Tatum is going to have, but at least he's got some competitiveness to him that we don't see as much with Tatum.
Right.
And what we saw in this game last night is Gary Washburn tweeted out in... not tweeted out, but wrote about in his story from last night's game in the Globe, was that you get into a situation where the Celtics don't have answers offensively, and then you just have Tatum resorting to taking big fadeaway shots because offensively they're not in rhythm and they're not on the same page, which is exactly what was being questioned to Brown after the game when he said no comment. That
maybe
there
he wants
is
to take the shot.
Zero cohesiveness from an offensive standpoint or defensive standpoint late in these games. And so what does he do? He just starts jacking it up. Because he's the guy, right? Okay, I'll just start taking shots. And that's what he gets to, and that's where the Celtics get in trouble when he's not hitting shots. I just don't think that that's good enough for this team to win games on a regular basis. And they just keep blowing leads. It's almost become predictable with this team. But again, tell me what the fix is for this. Tell me what the fix is. Brandon in Boston, go ahead.
Yeah, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. So ownership needs to look at Danny Ainge and look at Brad Stevens and say, listen, your job's done here. You know, it's time to move on from these guys. A head coach that I would target would be Juwan Howard. He's a two-time world champion. He's with Michigan right now. His team's first in his division, 16-1. His contract will be over April 31st, 2024. I know Brad Stevens had that extension, I think it's 2024, 2025. I would only keep him till 2024 and move on from him, and Danny Ainge has to be fired. Because look at what the Nuggets
are doing.
So you're
keeping Brad Stevens for three more years is what you're saying?
We have to stick it out. We have to stick it out by that time.
Okay, so fire Ainge now. Don't fire Stevens, but fire him in 3 years. Interesting thought. If you're going to fire him, you can fire him today. But can I add this? If you're going to fire the coach, can you fire the GM at the same time? Why does the GM get to stay?
Oh, I agree with that.
That's what we talked about last week. Danny Ainge, oh, he's Teflon. No, he's not.
And by the way, I think there is 0% chance they fire either one of them.
Right.
None.
I agree with that.
We could talk about it all day, but I don't think it's happening. You can call for it, but I don't think it's going to happen. At the end of the season, I think it's a different conversation. And if you're going to fire one, fire them both.
Juwan Howard. Fab Five.
Yeah, I knew you were going
to. Only one of the Fab Five who ever won anything, and he had very little to do with those wins.
Brandon in Boston's always outside the box, isn't he?
Yeah, a little bit. Nick hey, in guys, the car. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Hi.
I think that Danny deserves a lot more heat. I was listening to that Tucker and Rich interview he had last week. I know it was a while back, but I almost drove off the road talking to work that morning because he said that he doesn't really want to add a piece because if a young guy has to come up, you know, say he's eighth on the bench and he has to play a bigger role and they bring in a piece, and he has to drop back down for this like star at addition. Like Danny doesn't want to do it. Like this team has no chemistry.
Dude, I said that. I said that when we came on at 10 right after that. I said that you can replay last three years of interviews of Ainge, and it's the same thing. It's like
I think
a vortex.
It's like a bunch of BS. I think that Brown and Tatum are getting too much of the burden. I think that Danny has to, you know, have some balls, make some moves, and that Brad isn't the leader this team needs. These kids need direction, and Brad's not really the leader for the squad. He just doesn't have it.
Who the hell are you going to bring in for that?
Yeah, just tell me who that is.
Yeah, give me an answer. That's great and all if you want to fire the coach. Tell me who you want to replace him with.
Brent's in Shrewsbury. Brent.
Hey, guys. Forget firing him. I say we switch him. Let's have Danny be the coach and Brad be the GM.
That's good.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just joking. But so I called in to say, like, I've liked Brad. I saw a lot of those Isaiah Thomas teams. And I want to note, Isaiah put up 29 a game. Tatum and Brown have never done that, right? Just saying. But I know defensively, guys will just shoot and, you know, not even notice him there, unfortunately. But what can Stevens do? Like, he's not a yeller, I don't think. So if he all of a sudden starts yelling at the players, it's like, okay, that's fake. And coaches like that, what you do is you bench guys for a whole game or for 5-10 minutes, you bench your starters. But it's like, we're already like 12 guys deep in the bench. We can't even do a 5-5 to send a message.
They get smoked.
Is this football smoked guy?
Even worse. Yes, it is. They just get
fired
crushed.
Up football starting today? They would get fired up for Massachusetts?
Totally crushed is what would happen to them.
Well, there's a reason Isaiah Thomas scored like that. He was the only one that could score at that time. And the reason Tatum and Brown are getting the brunt of the work right now is they're your two best players and everybody else stinks. So you defer to them. You're going to wear them down, though.
Joe's in Billerica. Joe.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
How you doing? So this goes back to the famous throw in the chair during the bubble. Like I was talking to the call screen. I bet my life on it when that, you know, was going down, that Brad Stevens jumped into Daniel Tice's arms like Scooby-Doo and Shaggy when he saw a ghost. It's just very clear. I'm not calling him for be fired, but I can just tell you from a fan's perspective of what's happening. He just doesn't inspire these kids. He doesn't inspire. He doesn't motivate. When you win a close game by a couple points and he makes good moves, the coach gets the praise. Oh, he made such a great move. He swapped this guy in, the bigs, blah, blah, blah. When you lose by 25, has to come down on the coach. Now, again, I'm not calling him to be fired. I'm just blatantly saying nothing has changed since that chair has been thrown. It's very, very obvious. Zoe likes to bring up Tatum's body language. Go look at the game-winning shot the other night when Kemba went and put it up, missed it. He turned right around, kind of threw his hands in the air, and walked away.
Watch how many times that has happened at the end of games.
That's what I'm saying.
Last 2 or 3 years.
He's checked out. They're checked out. These are the younger generation kids. You need the boot in the ass. You need the solid like coaching. They need that. Again, they're not getting that. And again, I think Danny's going to stunt their growth more by keeping Brad here than not. One more quick thing.
Yeah.
Just take a look at the 76ers. The dogs of your division, your rival that you could beat. What changed now? Doc Rivers came, and Embiid is now an MVP candidate.
Because the talent's getting better.
That's because, first of all, they had one of the worst coaches in the league in Brett Brown.
Brett Brown.
That guy was a joke.
But if you need to be inspired at this point, at this level, you got problems as a player.
Did Doc inspire players when they had 24 wins here in Boston?
No.
How about the year before when they had 33 wins? Do you remember that? Do you remember when everybody was calling for Doc to get fired? Remember when Bill Simmons was even on board with firing Doc? Like, biggest Celtics fan going. He wanted to fire Doc. Everybody wanted to fire Doc. Doc was the problem. You couldn't inspire them. They had to be better than this. How could the Celtics be so bad? Doc sucks. Or the team wasn't good enough. The roster wasn't good enough. And you know what was true about those teams? The unfortunate truth, we all love Paul Pierce. I do. Paul Pierce was never the best player on a championship team. Do the Celtics have a guy on their roster who could be the best player on a team that could truly, actually get to the finals and compete to win it? Because they have not come close as many times as you want to talk about the Eastern Conference Finals appearances. Can Jason Tatum be the best player on a championship-winning team? Celtics fans would like to think so. I don't know if it's true. I know this. It's not Jaylen Brown. He's never going to be that guy. No comment. You can't coach that out of somebody. You can't coach being self-absorbed out of somebody. Someone who's willing to basically say their teammates aren't good enough, their roster's not good enough, their coach isn't good enough. You can't coach that out of anybody. That's who he is.
When was that interview done with the female reporter?
Comment.
He said, we want to win one, two, three. Remember?
You did a podcast, I believe.
I think it was a sit down with her, like on a stool.
No comment.
No comment.
But he'll play in the NBA All-Star
game. So you can
game.
Rule him out. He's excited to play in the NBA All-Star game, but you can rule him out as being a potential best player on a championship team. He can't be. He cannot be. He cannot lead like that. That is the opposite of leadership coming out of that guy right now. 617-779-0985. Here's Hardy with headlines.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kemba gets a screen from Daniel Tice. He's got Melly lined up, dribbling between his legs. There's the nasty step back. Jumps back behind the line. His three, though, is no good. And the rebound belongs to Ingram. Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker are 10 for 36. Ingram, pull up three for the tie. Got it.
He was running into that one.
Boy, the Pelicans are running off makes. They're running off misses, and they are running the Celtics off the floor right now. They have made up a 24-point deficit, and Brad Stevens calls the timeout. We will start over again with 4:10 to go. Boston 98, New Orleans 98.
Celtics collapsing last night. Final. What was that? That was not the final call, obviously. That was from the fourth quarter with about 4 minutes to go. Reading from the Globe today, as I mentioned earlier, Gary Washburn talked about the 13-3 run that the Pelicans went on, and then how the Celtics panicked in the game. Walker and Brown combined to miss 32 shots and 18 three-pointers in the game. Washburn writes, that's not Stevens' fault, but the Celtics never made the necessary adjustments, and Tatum tried saving the day with his old habit of settling for step-back fadeaway jumpers. Eight of Tatum's 14 misses were on those shots. That is terrible by all of them. And so when Brad Stevens brings up the missed shots post-game, I get it, but I don't feel like that is taking enough responsibility as the head coach of the team for what went down in this game. It says Tatum got caught into hero ball because he wasn't getting any help offensively. The pressure was mounting as New Orleans was making its fourth quarter surge and the Celtics were left hapless. The game was a collective effort of mishaps. Stevens could never put his players in position to succeed or combat a simple trap defense, and the players just failed to make shots. The Pelicans' offense became predictable in the second half, and why shouldn't it have been? The Celtics had no one to check Zion Williamson, and that resulted in either layups or fouls for him. All a part of the Celtics' collapse. Could they have shot better? Yes. Would they have maybe won the game that way? Yes. Coaching, a factor? Of course. Of course. Can't fire players. It's harder to fire players, though, than it is to fire the coach. Rick is in Maine. Rick hung up. Will in Weymouth. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
Hey, Zoe, I agree with what you said earlier about these NBA players, you know, needing to be able to motivate themselves. But as far as this generation goes, you know, I'm 23. I just feel like by the time these guys are at that level, a message from a guy like Brad, who, you know, lends himself more to a collegiate or an AAU type of setting, it just goes a little stale. And these guys, they just need an X factor more than a guy who's drawn.
I mean, I don't know who's going to do that. You get the best player coming out of Duke. You play there for a year. You're probably the best AAU player ever. And then you get here and you think, you know, you're the Shiznits. I mean, what coach other than like a Phil Jackson who knows how to play those mind traps, those mind tricks, is going to come in here and fix this?
A former player. I do get that. I get that argument. A former player who could put a younger player in his place. There is some of that. Former players do have that element that guys like Brad Stevens don't. But that existed the day Brad Stevens got hired. What's that? So,
like Steve Kerr. Would Steve Kerr come here and fix it?
He would be pretty good, I think.
Okay, so I'm trying to think of former players that John Stockton. I don't know. What other coaches are in the NBA that played?
Well, the previous coach, Doc Rivers, was a former player.
Well, he doesn't like being parts of rebuild. Well, you're in a rebuild. You're not close. Okay. Even though you've been there 3 out of the last 4 years, and we keep getting reminded of that, you're really not close.
Well, a lot of people are clamoring for Mark Jackson. That's a popular one on Twitter, to get Mark Jackson as the next Celtics coach because he would be available. But I do understand that element. I'm just saying that that's existed for the entire 8 years that Brad Stevens has been here. He's not a former player. He didn't play in the NBA. This is his first NBA experience coaching the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
I get it. He doesn't have that thing that other guys have. He's supposed to be able to make up for it with excellent top-notch coaching. And on a night like last night, it wasn't there. There was no coaching advantage for the Celtics in that game. Was it a part of the reason they lost? Yes, without a doubt. Tim is in Burlington. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Monday. This conversation is one I've been having personally with some friends for a while. If you take a look at other sports, you look at Nick Saban, tried his hand professionally, didn't work out so well. John Calipari also did the same with the Nets and went back to college. I'm starting to think that his model, temperament, and mindset just may not lend itself to the professional game, and this is an experiment that we're all kind of living out and watching.
Yeah, I mean, that could absolutely be true, and you know that there are rumors starting in Indiana already about Brad Stevens potentially going to Indiana. I heard that last week. I mean, that's not new. It's not unusual. But I said to you guys after a game last week, I said, does Brad Stevens look happy? Does he look like he's enjoying this process? Enjoying where this
team is at?
He looks the
same every day from day one. He's emotionless.
Is he loving this right now? Is he loving the NBA? 3 out of the last 4 Eastern Conference Finals. Those, I'm sure, were fun. You know, Final Four. He was good at getting to the Final Four at Butler. Just wondering. I'm wondering
who's
if he's still
coach
enjoying
up in Toronto,
it the way
always
he
like
was.
Got his hands spread and he's running around like trying to distract. Who is that guy? What the hell's his name up in Toronto?
Nick Nurse.
Yeah, that type of guy. We need that.
This is a players' league.
Nut job on the sidelines?
This is a players' league, and your roster will determine how far you go over everything else in the NBA. That is not true in college. The best roster does not always win in college. You can have a lesser roster and have excellent coaching and go really deep as Butler did. Butler never had the best roster. Never. And they were always, at the end of his tenure there, in the mix to win it all. They were in that mix. Even with, because coaching made a big difference. You can make a big difference at that level with coaching. Maybe it's just more attractive at some point to go back to that.
So then it defeats the purpose of bringing in a new coach. Like if you can make a bigger impact in college than you can in the NBA, what the hell's worth the problem of making a change then?
Well, listen, you could get a new coach for the Celtics and have it be a little sugar high for the team.
Let's get Tyronn Lue.
Motivate them and all that stuff. But I don't think it ultimately fixes your roster. You're still not a good team. You're still not a championship team. You're not. If you had a championship roster, you don't blow a 24-point lead. I don't care how bad the coach is. I don't care if you have no coach. I don't care if there's anybody on the sideline coaching the team. You wouldn't let that happen. And that's sort of my point. Go ahead. Fire it. Fine. You Celtics fans, you want to fire the coach? Go ahead. Then what? Then what? Still not good enough. That's just the reality of the situation. 617-779-0985. We'll go right back to your calls coming up next.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Dolak and Bertrand.
The only way you're not coming with us is if we call the police. You have to go.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you feel like everyone's on the same page about how to proceed after that first action breaks down?
I don't know. It's just more so reading. Reading who's out there with you. Knowing who's hot. Knowing who has a mismatch. Just being instinctual. I think that's just part of playing basketball. Because at that point, you know, it was making the right read.
That was Tatum's answer to the same question that Brown gave a no comment to.
You know what winners are?
What?
You know what great ones are? Great players that elevate other players? The type of guys that are the most pissed off, unhappy quarterback at 8-0. Because they know we ain't got no shot this year with our personnel, with our team. And everybody got on Brady for that. That guy affects other people. That guy knew at 8-0 we were dead in the water. Baker Mayfield at 8-0, he'd be doing jumping jacks, high five, doing more commercials, protect my house, my stadium. That's the difference. Just play, part of playing ball, Tatum, right? Yeah.
So we're endorsing.
I'd rather have
Brady being miserable at 8-0. That's what we're doing.
No. But it's just a comparison of
that's what you're doing. I'm not doing that
with elevating other people around you or being great.
I think Brady had a bad attitude here at the end.
Oh, okay. In fact, he knew. That's what I think it was.
Maybe he did. Do you think the bad attitude helped? That guy impacts the way other players think. Yeah. Well, if Tom thinks we suck, we must suck. How is that productive?
I just go by the comparisons of great athletes we had here in Boston and that have come and gone.
Correction. He wasn't great at the end here. He was great this year in Tampa.
Right. Bill was very intent on putting that no matter how, regardless of how Tom's career ended here. He had to slide that in there, right? Take
right.
A little shot there.
It didn't end well. He didn't have a good attitude at the end. If you impact the way other players feel and think and react and work, that was not the most productive attitude. So you think, does that mean that Brown's a great winner? Is that what you're saying? That you like the no comment? That's the equivalent to what
it's
Brady did
like
a year ago.
I would rather take the no comment than that now, even as bad as the no comment was. I just heard that right there, and it just triggered something right there, like that with the Brady stuff. I didn't plan this coming back.
Well, I think that if Tatum wanted to impress anybody there, he would speak to how they'd have to get better as a team and how they would have to practice and work and prepare for these situations. But instead, he just relies on it's just instincts. You know, you're either good or you're not. I don't think it's a bad answer. I don't think he's ripping his teammates. I just think it speaks to where he goes mentally in these games when they're in these points, when they panic, when they're down, when they start struggling. Well, instincts, my instinct is shoot. And that's what he did. That was the instinct that Kemba had. That was the instinct that Brown had. Let's just shoot. Let's start firing away.
Well, somebody needs to change the instincts. Maybe that's the coach.
Yeah, he has to coach them out of these bad habits. Right, he has to coach Tatum out of the bad habit of his instinct being, let's just fade away and jack it up. Because 8 of his 14 misses, thank you for doing that work, Gary Washburn, 8 of his 14 misses came in that manner. Oof. And much of that was in the second half. Tim is in Nashua on this player, Jason Tatum. Hi, Tim.
Beadle, I think that the coach is in a no-win situation. They elevated Tatum to this, you know, campaign where he is the leader. And I don't think there's any reeling way to reel him back in because the other teammates, you know, are basically not rejecting it, but you can just see the fact when he goes to the rim and there's four or five guys that are waiting for him and he just, you know, basically is swarmed by the other players. And Pritchett and a number of players are sitting on the outside and he doesn't pass it to him. Just what you were talking about, how he just doesn't – I don't think he knows how to facilitate his leadership. It's he doesn't lead that room in a way that, like the rest of them will support him. They're all, you know, they bring in these other players like, Haywood or Kemba, and they're trying to, put a Band-Aid on it. I just don't think that the other teammates accept him, and you can see the frustration Tatum throwing his arms up.
I think they're a frustrated team, for sure. I don't know exactly, I don't follow everything you're saying, but at the end of the day, can he be your best player on a team that's going to actually contend for winning it all? I have my doubts. He could be Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce, great, nice player. One of my favorites. Was Paul Pierce putting a team over the top by himself? Was Paul Pierce ever going to be the best player on a championship team, though? I mean, we never saw that. It's not how they won. When they won a title, Kevin Garnett was their
right
best player.
Guys. I mean, but they got the right mix of guys. But Paul Pierce was your best closer. Fourth quarter, spread it out, give it to Paul, finish the game. And when teams would make runs like we saw yesterday and close that gap, those Celtic teams had the ability to step on the gas and just stop effing around and we're going to close this thing out.
Paul Pierce had the right attitude, though. Tatum does not. Big difference between the two. Jake in Boston, is this going to get worse for the Celtics? Go ahead, Jake.
Oh, it will. If you want the answer before I get into why it's going to get worse, why don't we bring the Cam Newton campers up here to coach these teams, starting with the Celtics, who need face-to-face negative reinforcement instead of the Gen Z everybody gets a trophy coddling they get from G. Willikers right now. The fix, because Larry Bird ain't walking through that door, even though that would be my dream godfather candidate, is someone who out-alphas the alphas. That still is Becky Hammon, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, because if you think Jalen's been the bright spot, give it a month. Give it a month, and when that trial starts in Minnesota, he's going to check out completely. If it's a not guilty verdict, the whole team might quit outright.
Again, this always goes back to things outside of basketball with the Celtics.
Yeah.
I can't connect those dots. I have no way of connecting those dots. I just can't. Celtics have basketball problems, and they have attitude problems. All of those things. And by the way, their roster is not that good. It just isn't. I know it's a hard realization to get to. The roster, just not good enough. Wasn't good enough in the offseason. I mean, I said that, not to do my own victory lap, but I was telling you this in the offseason, that they needed to get aggressive and make some significant changes. Of course, slim chance of that happening. It didn't. And now here they are. Their roster is not good enough. It just isn't good enough. Go ahead. Like I said, you want to change? I'm done even fighting it, so. I'm bored by how much they suck. Go ahead. Fire the coach. But you got to fire the GM, too. You can't not fire the GM.
If you're firing the coach,
the GM has to go, too. Fire them both.
You do that, you're so far away. We played a little game. Which team's closest to?
They are so far away. Look at them.
They're number four. They're number five, maybe.
Look at the team on the floor. Look at the game last night. They're clearly far away. The Celtics suck. Just admit it to yourself. They're not much better than whatever you think, they are, or whatever you're seeing, I should say, on the floor right now. Like, are they better than this? Yeah, but by how much? How much better are they than what they're showing on the floor right now? There's not a big gap there. I'm sorry. This is sort of what they are. They're mediocre. They are. It's unfortunate. They've got two young players that are really good. Brown and Tatum. They don't have much else. They just don't. They have some names. I don't know what else to say about them. Anything else to say at the moment? Because no. I'm sort of bored with it.
No.
I'm going to move on.
They're a little bit better than an average basketball team. They're not a 500 team. They're a little bit better than that.
What do you want to talk about? The little number 11 kid that runs around, looks like a good high school player that everybody's going to fall in love with in Neesmith?
Whoop-dee-doo. You don't win titles with that.
No comment.
Yeah, no comment. Let's move on. Got enough of this for the moment. Bruins win last night. Nice win for the Bruins outdoors. What great scenery there. What wonderful, great scenery.
You like those three tall pine trees right next to it that just pretty much blocked the
rough weekend out there in Tahoe. Let's talk about that. Let's get to that game. We'll do it in 90 seconds.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.